Today is Monday, May 13th. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Moed Katan, the bottom of Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to the next to the last line of the Gemara. Sholach Rab Yitzchak Bar Yaakov Bar Giyurei Mishmei de Rab Yochanan. So Rab Yitzchak, the son of Yaakov, the son of Giyurei, said in the name of Rab Yochanan, Klei Pishton Mutu Lechapson B'cholo Shomoed. Garments made out of flax, or actually linen, are permitted to be washed during Cholosh HaMoed. He doesn't say why. So there are two versions of Rashi. Rashi in our Gemara, if you take a look at Rashi, the Rashi is on the top of Yud Ches Amud Beis. Top line of the Rashi. Klei Pishton. Why are you allowed to launder them? Delo nafish tircha. Because it doesn't take a lot of effort to engage in cleaning linen. It doesn't take a lot of effort. If you look at the packet, however, on page, it's going to be a little difficult to find all of these things because it's not numbered properly, but okay.
Is that the normal way to say that it's not a lot of tircha? That's weird language.
Nuffish means it's not a lot. It's not a lot of tircha.
Page 38.
Page 38. Rashi on the Rif, page 38. There's no particular order. These are just the Yankees who contributed yesterday's 7-1 victory, and then a couple of others. Klei Pishton mitnifei tfei. They get dirty very easily, and velespe nami tircha kulehai. And there isn't much effort that is required to wash linen garments. So, because of this, I went to some site about how to launder linen, and you got all the pages there. How to do it. What you're supposed to be doing, what detergent you're supposed to be using, and so on and so forth. So, this will be part of the test in a couple of weeks, before the end of the semester. We will have, very nice. Good. Excellent. Now, I find Rashi's explanation in our Gemara very, very difficult. And it's quoted not only by Rashi, but by many Rishonim. If the Isur of Rechit of Kibbutz on Cholosh HaMoed was based on the fact that Chachamim do not want you to engage in Tircha Yisera, items which require much effort, I can understand why we would allow you to engage in laundering linen garments, because there's not much Tircha. And there are times when Tircha in itself is a category. I've never seen it applied to Cholosh HaMoed, but there are Mishnayos of Tircha and Tircha Yisera in Maseches Shabbos and Maseches Beitza dealing with Shabbos and Yom Tov, that you're not permitted to do certain things simply because of Tircha. So one famous case in the 18th parak of Maseches Shabbos, it's called Mifanin, where the Mishnah says that if I have bags of grain in a particular room, and I need some room For what reason? Mipnei bitul beis hamedrash o mipnei ha'orchin. I have guests and I can't seat them at my dining room table, so I want to use another room. The other room is occupied with bags of grain. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to move X number of bags of grain for the purpose of hosting guests, or if you're going to have a shear there. So the Gemara explains why, under what's the issur of moving a bag from one place to the next place in your own house on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Tirchi Yisera. That's the issur. That's the name of the issur. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where there is a real issur melacha, so even though issur melacha is not normally measured by expenditure of effort, it's all related to the effect, the impact upon your action. Turning on a light is not terribly difficult, but it's asur midoraisa. So even though melacha is not normally defined on a biblical level based on effort expended, on a derabbanon level it is. The Rabbanon say, even if something does not violate an iser melacha technically, the mere fact that I have to expend a lot of effort is asur midrabbanon on Shabbos. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, I can hear, I see the category, and anything that might be defined as not terribly strenuous, you're allowed to move without asking the Chachamim any opinion, and it doesn't only have to be for hosting guests and having a shir. It doesn't. But Cholo Shomoed, the concept, where does it ever say in Cholo Shomoed that you have to avoid Tircha Yisela?
You had it the whole first parak. The whole first parak.
That's the definition of it.
Okay. Yeah, that was with the Hashgah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's true. That's true. But it's not the same thing as... but that's... Okay, so if it would be that, perhaps I can hear it. Okay. But this... The Gemara already explained that kibbutz is prohibited not because of the tircha issue. It's prohibited based on the fact that I don't want you to enter into Yom Tov not wearing laundered clothing. Because you're going to assume, you know what, you can go ahead and what? And launder everything on the Yom Tov. Oh. So if the, on Chol HaShemoed, if the Gemara already establishes that that's the reason, what difference should it make whether the laundering of the garment takes a lot of effort or no effort? Who cares? So I don't understand why Rashi says that that's the reason why... who cares? So there's not a lot of effort. Since when would the Issa de Rabbanan against laundering clothing be waived because you can launder it very quickly? So the Rashi in the Rif, I can understand that since it gets very, very dirty and apparently dirty quickly, the assumption is that even if I washed it and laundered it when? On Erev Yom Tov, by the time I get to Chol HaShemoed, it's going to be dirty again. So there I can understand why I would allow you to launder it once again on Chol HaShemoed, because it might not undermine the objective of what we're trying to preserve on Chol HaShemoed. But simply the effort issue is very... And I'm only surprised one thing. That Rishonim don't ask that question.
Could it possibly cut the other way? In other words, something that's an intense melacha. So the guy's going to figure out, you can't do that on Kalam Leif because you're supposed to have taken care of it before, and now it's a big bother. So, you know, sort of like a hybrid of Turkey said. But here, it's a simple little thing, a quick rinse because it gets quickly, easily. So he'll think, oh, that I could do on Kalam Leif. You know, like.
Okay. Well, he's telling you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He's telling you you can.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
So in the case of Mefarnet, how come Makom Mitzvah is pure?
Because it's, I understand. So since it's only an Issa de Rabbanan, the Rabbanan have a right to establish whatever they want. that in order to promote Hachnasas Arachim or Bito Beis HaMedrash, we're going to waive these at the Rabbanim. That's not, that we find very frequently.
Why don't we also require that he has no other clothes? Meaning, if the issue is that we want him to be prepared before Yom
Tov. Because then there's no chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. That's already been stated before. Mi she'ein lo ela chaluk echad.
Why would the Rabbanan allow a guy to just wear another clothes? Just because it's Pishtun, he has other clothing. I mean, well, just because it's Pishtun, we're going to allow him to under.
Yeah, that's what he says. Klei Pishtun muta lechabes. That's exactly the case. That's exactly the halacha. And it's not talking about that he only has one garment. Because that's what Gemara said before. Even if it was wool, yeah,
but
you're allowed to wash
it. Doesn't undermine the whole. So I have 40 pieces of clothing. One is Pishtun. I want to wear that one. I'm going to do laundry every day on Chol Hamoed.
Only for Pishtun. Why? Because it's Ein Bo Har Bei Tircha. Yep. That's what he's saying. Yeah.
This might be a heck of a stretch, but can you apply the reasoning somehow of Tircha Yisera to cutting hair, shaving, or whatever, depending on what it is?
We might have had the Gemara said it. But we have not had that phrase once in this parak. Not once in this parak that any of these activities are defined as Tircha Yisera or Tircha at all. So it's a little difficult, huh?
The whole reason why there's a like knas on the person in front of the suffer, that you're not allowed to do kibbutz,
is because we want you to do it on Erev Yontif.
But the reason why we don't want you to do it, but because they were afraid if you did it on
Cholo Shomoed, you'll be lazy and not do your laundry on Erev Yontif. That's the reason. That the Gemara said that. Hainu Taima, the same thing as Giluach.
Why can't you have somebody else do it for you?
What?
Why can't you have somebody else do it for you?
Because that's included in the Gzeira. We don't want you to, you can't give it to a Gentile either. God, he's not allowed to do it for you.
That's no Tircha. What? That's no Tircha.
No Tircha for you.
Well, I don't write, so women call Omer, you think.
Yeah, again, I don't understand. I'm just telling you what the Gemara says, but it's difficult to figure out what's happening. What's difficult to figure it out? Why are we suddenly going to be lenient? Again, Rashi on the riff that it gets dirty frequently and easily, I can at least hear it. I can hear it.
Is there any chance that he's arguing on the other day that says about, you know, or is just an additional halakha?
No. Rashi can't argue on himself.
No. I'm talking about the statement of Rav Yitzchak bar Yaakov, Bar Giri B'Shmei Rabbi Yochanan.
That he's arguing on who?
Meaning that he's arguing on the thing that, no, I don't care if you only have one. It's a very...
No. This is everybody thinks this is a brand new statement. Good. Let's continue for a minute. Masiv Rava. So Rava is going to try to attack Rabbi Yochanan. Mitpachos hayodayim, hand towels. Mitpachot hasaporayim, the...
The
smock that the barber puts on you. That's one girsa. Somebody's going to read it a little differently in a second. That you're allowed to do those. The Mishnah mentions that you're allowed to do them. Inference. Hani in Klei Pishtun lo. If Klei Pishtun had a separate head there, they should have been mentioned in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah only says mitpachot hayadayim and mitpachot hasaparayim. So that should infer that linen clothing cannot be washed on Chol HaShemoed. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye said, masnitin afilu desharmini. Our Mishnah, which allows you to wash only hand towels and the barber smock, is talking about where it was made out of other material. So other materials cannot be washed and laundered unless you're one of the people who the Mishnah allows. But under ordinary circumstances, you're not allowed to wash. However, play pishtan, you're allowed to wash, even if you don't fit into that particular category. So Abayi says that the Mishnah is talking about those other materials, and as a result, the Mishnah cannot serve as a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan, and he substantiates Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, at least temporarily, based on that argument.
So both types of garments are made of, in the Rava's question, they're both garments, things that are made of plishtan, or only one of them, or it doesn't make a difference?
Which?
So mitvichot hayadayim and mitvichot saparayim?
No, it can be made out of anything.
No, not according to Bible, according to the question.
The question?
Rava, they're both made out of only plishtan, or only one of them?
No, they would be both made out. It makes no difference. Okay. The Mishnah only identifies those, whether it's pishtan or anything else. But even if pishtan, it's only those two items of pishtan that we allow.
Oh, okay.
Not generally. Answers the Gemara that Abayi says, no, those items in the Mishnah are talking about anything but pishtan. And the Mishnah allows to wash all hand towels, and I don't need the Mishnah to tell me you're allowed to wash linen hand towel, because you're allowed to wash linen, all kinds of garments.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, that's how majority of Rishonim believe that the text is. Mit pachot hasaporayim. However, there is another girsa which reads mit pachot hasfarim. A mit pachat, meaning the mantle of a Sefer Torah. You're allowed to wash the mantle of a Sefer Torah. And the reason why they feel that's the correct girsa, number one, because that's the text they saw in the manuscript.
You can't give haircuts.
And number two, because there is a much more compelling reason to allow it. Most people can't take haircuts on Chalosh HaMoed. So we're going to have a whole halacha for a barber that he can wash all of his things, because there are three people who came from Medina Sayyam. One guy got let out of jail, and one guy got let out of the hospital. So we're going to make a whole halacha for them. But mit pachot hasfarim are used and handled, because there's laning every day of Yom Tov and Chalosh HaMoed. So a guy comes up, he's honored by the Gabbai to have Haitzah V'Achnasa, and he's got grease all over his hands. And they now make the mitpacha dirty. So out of Kvoid Hasfarim, in order to maintain the dignity of the Sefer Torah, we now allow you to wash all mitpachot hasfarim. All mitpachot hasfarim. In fact, take a look at Tosfos on the top of the page. Tosfos quotes both versions. Tosfos says, Perush lehistaper, ubemistaper lechol osam shehetiru chachamim. Who is he now giving haircuts to on Chalosh HaMoed that he has to launder his smock? To all the people who are allowed to go into Chubby's and take a haircut on Chalosh HaMoed. V'yesh gorsin hasfarim mit pachot hasfarim of the Sifrei Torah umit pachot hasafganim. What are safganim? Safganim are people who put, at least according to some Rishonim, who used to put some type of cloth on top of pizza that had too much oil on it. I use that example because people do that all the time. You go into a pizza shop, and what do? You take 20 napkins, and you put it on the pizza to draw out some of the oil. So when they used to make items that had a little too much oil, so what they used to do is they took a piece of cloth and would put it on. Now that would get dirty very quickly. And
the reason you need this on Chol HaMoed is what?
Because you can bake.
Oh, okay.
You can cook and bake, especially baking. You can bake. And so people needed it, and therefore they allowed Sfarim and Safganim. Svarim and Safkani.
Is that the same word as Safkaniyot?
It might, I don't think so, but it might because it has a lot of oil in it. I don't know. I don't know. Ubi, yes?
The word, you said different gears, they have a different manuscript, but the manuscript has the word, you can read it Svarim, you can call it, you can read it either way. What?
I know. So in such a case, in all likelihood, the person who wrote the manuscript would put the Nekudot in.
There are extant.
Yeah, in a manuscript. There's no Issur to put Nekudot in a manuscript. So he would put in Hasaporayim. Then I know we're talking about a barber. And if you're talking about Svarim, he would write, you know, put Patachs, Shva, Kamatz, Reish, Yud, Mem.
But how far back does this, would a manuscript like this go with the Nekudot?
I don't, it depends. Who keeps writing the manuscript? Okay. So it's somebody. It doesn't have to be in the time of the Gemara. Some time of the Rishon, somebody picked it up and he wanted to let his kid know how to read this properly. So he put in the Nekudot, and that's the manuscript that Tosfos happened to pick up. Don't forget, there's no printing until the 15th century. So everything is still being done by manuscripts in the time of the Rishon. Says, yeah, Ubi Rushalmi Kamar Allah. Yerushalmi says, Mitpachat Hasvarim Ein Mechapsin Oso B'mei Raglayim B'mei Hakavod. You are not permitted, says the Yerushalmi, to watch. I know, but here this is worse. This is worse than the Ketores. This is, you're not permitted to wash the Mitpachot of Svarim with urine. Apparently they used urine for a lot of different, because of the acidity element, they used urine for a lot of things. So Ein Ma'arv, you're not supposed to put it in the Ketoret, but Nei HaKavod. And here you're not supposed to wash it, Nei HaKavod. Now that would obviously support the text that it would be Svarim. To say that you can't launder your smock of the barber with urine, Nei HaKavod, sounds a little ridiculous. So some Rishonim respond to Tosfos and say, why is it so ridiculous?
Kavod HaBrios.
Exactly, it's Kavod HaBrios. You have to put the smock on the guy's neck, right below the nose, and they go shmek shmek, and he's shmecking urine all day. So that's also not Nei HaKavod. They said it's no proof from the Yerushalmi. But Tosfos tries to bring a proof from the Yerushalmi that it has to be Svarim. So Tosfos says, V'ein nirli lahavi raya, da'ayri b'kisvei HaKodesh. I don't think you can bring any proof from that. Da'afilu da'ayri b'uman ha-misaper, even if we're talking about a professional barber, shayach kavod ha-mistaprim, you have to be concerned about the honor of the people taking the haircuts. Shinosnin osan bifnehem ukishim mistaprin ein kavod lahem bemitunafin. It's not nice to put a thing, you know, based on if it's dirty. So that's also bnei kavod. Yeah. So if you go to page number 39 for a minute, right? The next page, 39. This is the Mordechai in the back of the Gemara. Tanya mitpachat sifarim ein mechapsin osam elo beneser uburis. Those are various types of soaps, detergents, v'pnei hakavod, v'lo b'mei raglayim. So the Mordechai certainly is gores svarim, and cites this in relationship to, should do it properly with soap and nothing less than that. Nothing less than that. Yeah.
What's that first word in the parentheses?
Siporayim. That would be barbers. And that's in parentheses.
So which one is?
So it's always like that. Parentheses means that the minority of manuscripts have that version.
Yeah.
Brackets mean that the majority of the manuscripts have it. That's the code word for that. Code. Blue. Yeah. So let's just read two more lines of Gemara before we return to the Mordechai and others. And others. Says the Gemara. Omar Bahidia, Barhidia said, Lididi Chazali, I once saw by Yama Shel Tveria, by the ocean of Tveria, the Mafkila Mesichli Demane Kisna Bechula Demuada. They brought out boxes and boxes of linen clothing and were washing them at the riverbank of the Tiberias River. Maskif lo Abaye. So Abaye asked, Man leimalon de beratzon chachamim avde? What are you going to bring me any proof from a bunch of people in Tveria? Maybe the Chachamim were not terribly pleased with their action. So you can offer no proof whatsoever from that particular episode.
Isn't Abaye asking on himself?
No.
Abaye is the one who says, Shabbas disa vilu sharmini.
Correct.
He just brought a proof to Rabbi Yochanan.
That's correct. He wanted to answer the question of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, there's going to be a debate as to what's Abaye's point in this particular thing. That's going to be a machloikus. How to understand Abaye's attack. How to understand Abaye's attack.
How come this guy's story isn't given the credit of all every Mice in Gemara? You know, usually Mice is Gemara brought for Dvar Halacha, right?
Usually, yes.
Is Barihidya a popular story, Mice guy?
He's not quoted too frequently. I'm sure if you go, I don't know how, I didn't check in Bar Ilan, but haven't come across him too frequently.
I'm wondering maybe that's why Abaye said
that. That's possible.
Your stories aren't so reliable.
That is possible. So there are two ways to look at Abaye. One is to say that Abaye is attacking Rabbi Yochanan based on his comment. The Gemara, Barhidia, is bringing proof to Rabbi Yochanan that you're allowed to wash linen garments, no restrictions whatsoever, whatever the reason is. And as support to you, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, the Gemara quotes his story. Says, Abaye can't prove anything. And I happen to disagree with Rabbi Yochanan in the first place. Don't tell me about these guys. You're not allowed to linen is no different than any other textile. All types of garments can only be laundered based on the heterim that the Mishnah talks about. Not all everybody else. That's one impossibility of Abaye. A second possibility of Abaye is, actually three possibilities, is that Abaye did not challenge Rabbi Yochanan. All he meant to say is, you can't bring any proofs from these people in Tveri. Don't bring any proofs. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan is right, but don't bring me support that Rabbi Yochanan's halacha was accepted and by all, because these guys, the fact that they did it, could have been against what the Chachamim said. So his challenge is only due to the fact that somebody might not want to prove it from that case, and that's how the Ritva, if you go to page 55, the Ritva spells out both of the possibilities. Man lema de beratzon chachamim avod. Efshar de Abaye dechuye ba'alma hu de mitche. It is possible that Abaye is just rejecting the proof. De meha leka lemishma mina. That from this story you can't prove anything. Avo be'ikar dina lo polik. But based on the initial halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, Abaye does not disagree. The hatirets masnitin alibid Rabbi Yochanan, because 5 seconds earlier, Abaye was the one who defended Rabbi Yochanan from the critique of the Mishnah. Third possibility: the efsha de polig v'savar de leka lemevad b'farhesia kulehai. What he objected to the people in Tveria was that they were doing it in public. And it looks like exactly it's a weekday. That's how you do your laundry in the weekday. You go to the river. If people are going to see the assembly line of laundering clothes by the river, people will get the impression that there is no isur of kibbutz on Chol HaMoed. That was his objection. That was his objection. Not so much that they were laundering clothing, linen clothing, and not that he still agrees that you're allowed to do it. But you can't do it b'farhesia. Can't do it b'farhesia. Umihu. Here the Ritva says something very serious. I avod, if they actually did it, lo mechinen lahu. You shall not protest these people who are laundering clothing at the riverbank. Normally, the halacha is, we just read it this past Shabbos, hocheach tocheach esam isecha, that if you see somebody doing something inappropriate, not supposed to bang them over the head, not supposed to scream at him, humiliate him, you're supposed to tell him, chevra, the halacha is, you're not allowed to do this. Here, you don't do that. Why? Hanach lohem li Yisrael. Leave them alone. Mutav shiyu shogigin v'al mezidin. It would be better that they did it, what? B'shogeg, rather than violate the law.
Assuming they won't listen to you.
That's the assumption. The assumption is that these people, if a buyer walked over to them, are not going to change their pattern of behavior. Now, this halacha is quoted several places in Shas. Several places. So I'm going to give you...
The halacha of let him do a b'shogeg, that
correct. Mutav shiyu shogegin v'al mezidin. So if you go to page 48 for a minute... And we find a Gemara in Beitza on the Lamed Omer Aleph. You and Shul, when we were learning Beitza between the Gemara?
Say no.
Start. Just start. I mean, in the middle.
In the middle.
Sound good?
Must have been 10 years we did Beitza. Amalei Rava Bar Chanin La'abaye. Tanan Ein Mitapchin Ve'ein Mesapkin Ve'ein Meraktin. You're not allowed to dance on Yom Tov. You're not permitted, metapchen means to, you know, play a beat on your thigh. Not allowed to do any of those things on Yom Tov. So ho'ibna t'chazina d'avna ha'mi, but I see everybody do this. V'lo yamrina l'hu v'lo midi. We're not going to go what? And tell them, shaygas! Why are you doing that? Why are you dancing and playing the drum on your thigh? Amalei v'litameich hada amar rabo rava lo leisev inish apumo delechaya. A person should not park himself right where the lechi is. A lechi. The lechi is where you have so you have two lechis and the tzuras hapesach. It was usually put at the entrance of the mavui. The mavui was opened, was closed on three sides, and then, in order to enable you to carry, they would put a tzuras hapesach there. So the Mishnah said, the Brat Rava said, you should not sit there. Why? Dilma mikneder lechafetz, v'asol asuy Abraham is pushes around. What's going to happen? You're going to see a valuable item floating around in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, and what are you going to do? Oh, I can't. I'm going to go carry it back inside k'mavoi. Asked the Gemara, v'ahani nashi, there were some women, the shaklan chatzvayu, the ozlan v'yasvin apuma demuvan, v'lo amrina lo midi. There were some women who took some utensils specifically to sit at the thing. In case they found something in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, they would grab it right away. Elo hanach lohem li Yisrael. Mutav shiyushoygin v'al mezidin. Hachanami, so too in relation to this case, about dancing on Yom Tov. Hanach lohem li Yisrael. Mutav shiyushoygin v'al mezidin. Says the Gemara, Hani Mili Bidrabana. When can I tolerate allowing people to engage in violation if it's an Issa Dirabana? So that I'm not going to go crazy about. Avo Bidoraisa, lo. But if the people are violating an Issa Doraisa just because I think they're not going to listen to me, does not excuse me from informing them and letting them know that we're doing what they are doing is something which is definitely be'isur. Answers to Gemara, that's not true. Velohi, loshna b'do'oraisa, veloshna midrabanan. There is no difference whether it's do'oraisa or d'rabanan. Lo amrinan luhu velo midi. We don't say anything, even if you're violating an Issa d'oraisa. How do I know? The hotosefes yom hakipurim d'oraisa. The mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to add onto Yom Kippur, tosefes yom hakipurim d'oraisa. The achlu v'shasu ad chasheicha v'lo armidin v'lo homidi. Once again, Rashi and some women would eat until mamishkiyas achar, and they were not mekabel the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Now, Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is learned out from Psukim. If you go for a second to page 24, it's the last page in the packet, page 24, very famous Gemara. Forgot to put the bracket lines. It's the third line in the middle of the line. The Rabbi Yishmael Mosifin Mechol Al Kodesh Minole. How do you know that there is a mitzvah to add on to Yom HaKippur? Nafkale Midisanya V'inisem Esnaf Shosechem B'sisha LaKodesh Po'erev. You are to afflict oneself, not eat, on the ninth day of the month. Bo'erev, at night. Erev, if it meant the 10th, after dark, so then why would it say Tisha Ba'erev? It should have said when? Basiri. Talmud Loma Batisha. Ha Ketzat, Maschil Umisane Miba'ojom. That even as it is daylight, still on the ninth day of the month of Tishrei, you are obligated to begin fasting. Melamed shemosifin mechol al hakodesh. Ein li ela b'knisasa. This only is at the beginning of Erev Yom Kippur. B'yitziyaso minayin. How do you know that you're supposed to extend the fast of Yom Kippur into the 11th? How do you know? So the answer is Talmud Loimar me Erev ad Erev. That whole phrase is totally superfluous. Obviously, as Yom Kippur is May Erev Ad Erev, so that's to teach you to go into the Erev, into the 11th at night. So if you're if the Chazan is going to fast by Ne'ila, you can tell him to do Kvartins, that big Shloish Esrei Midos Piyut Slicha, and he's got plenty of things to say. Of Tamach the Yisei Doisai, from Mordechai Hirschman, and plenty of things to say. Keep him very busy. Yeah. Now,
I'm going to fail that part.
Many Rishonim are of the opinion that although the Gemara cites this as a Do'oraisa, the rule of Mutav Shiyu Shogin Val Mezidin does not really apply to every Da'oraisa. It only applies to a Da'oraisa She'eino Mifurash Bikra. That's not black and white in the Pasuk. But where it says Lo Tasa Kol Malacha, for example, if you see somebody doing a Malacha on Shabbos, that's black and white. You don't need a drash. That you have to tell somebody. And be Mekai in the midst of Halchacha. It's only by all the Rabbanans and the Oraisos She'ein Lo Smach Min HaTorah, that are not black and white Mefurash Batorah. The mitzvah of Tosefus Yom HaKippurim is learned out from a drash. It's not black and white in the text.
What is sitting under a lechi?
What?
Sitting under a lechi, is that not Hotzah Mirashus Lurshus?
Might be the Rabbanan, though. Is it a Rishus Rabbanan?
It depends. Right, so let's assume it wasn't a real Rishus Rab. Let's say it's a Karmelis. So we'd be taking only a Derabbanan. Yeah, that, if it was a real Doraisa, the Gemara would not allow. According to these Rishonim. Yes.
But isn't anything that is not black and white a Doraisa, a Derabbanan by definition? Because Derabbanan pretty much tells.
No. There are Doraisas that are derived from Psukim, but don't appear directly in the text. There are such Doraisas. And this is one of them. This is one of them.
The issue about doing it is that you're not it's like a almost a quasi lifnei iver kind of thing. You don't want them to go over.
Yeah, like the Gemara says, because otherwise they're going to be violating midoraisa b'mezid. Because now the assumption is they don't know.
No,
two assumptions.
That's the assumption.
So
they
are
don't
you
know.
Not supposed to, or do you not have to?
You're not supposed to.
Not only not to have, you don't.
It says Hanach lohem liYisrael. Leave them alone. Don't say anything. Mutav shiyu shogin val mezidin. Yeah, you don't say anything.
But in the prior segment, we were saying that I think you suggested that these. It's pretty much assumed these people don't waste your time telling them because they're not going to do
something. Both.
Therefore.
Well, that's why the Chachamim are saying, if you're going to tell them, they will violate in the future b'mezid, which is much worse than doing it b'shogeg.
But the presumption is that the Chachamim just won't help.
That's correct. If somebody, if you know that, if there is a chance that somebody will listen, of course you're supposed to tell them that. That's of course.
But how do you determine that without actually telling them?
I have no idea how you make that. How you make that decision whether somebody's going to listen or not. You have to know them, their personality. That's what you have to do. Some people don't take criticism well, and other people are more receptive. We all know that in our business world, and you know, some people don't take criticism very well, and they freak out. Yeah.
You never teach them a lot. I mean, how, there's no self to this. Ain't self. You don't have to teach them anything. I grant you.
It's a difficult halacha to come to grips with. It's a novel, revolutionary halacha. Yeah.
Well, like the case when the Erev is down in the community and people have children, like you
don't announce it.
Will employ that. Just don't tell anybody.
Do it again. That is correct. Don't tell anybody.
They're not going to do it. It's
correct, because you know that if you have a little kid, what are you going to do? You're going to stand in the middle of the street. You know, for 20 hours, the Eruv got knocked down. And what are you going to do? People are going to use the Eruv without the Eruv. They're going to bring their carriages. So don't say it. Don't announce it. Yeah.
Is the issue of the story in terms of, I know they focus on Befarhesia. What about the fact that it was Demani Kitana, that the Mepakele Meshichle Demani Kitana, the volume at which they brought it?
Okay, but has anybody said that there was an issue about the number of garments?
When the Ritva said, like they do, when the Ritva used the language, like they do it during the week, I assume it's more than Befarhesia. Because all the other, the Heterim before, Rabbi Yochanan and these other, they never made any comments whether the guy can do his Pishtan or the guy only has one garment Befarhesia or not. They never limited it.
Right. That's correct. Yeah.
But I said, at the end of the day, this, I mean, we last year we learned about that doing it, you should do by the river if you're going to do it before next year, right? I mean, it's, but because that's just correct. If you're not going to do it correctly, then you should do it privately, right?
That's correct.
So the halacha at the end of the day is not like, is that you can and it's totally fine to do it by the river, right? This is not a wrong. I mean, at the end of the day, is it the halacha?
It's a machlokes, like everything. We're going to read it right now. Right. Let's read it. Now go back to page 39, the Mordechai. So the Mordechai says a couple of things based on what we just said. Right after we left off, Tanya b'Tosefta, Af al pi shehitiru l'saper, lo yistaper b'cholo shomoed ela b'tzina. That number one, haircuts can't be in the barbershop. They have to be done privately for those who we allow you to take a haircut. Number two, the af al pi shehitiru l'chabes, even though we allow you to launder, lo yolich lekoves, you cannot take your stuff to the laundry. Can't do take it to the laundry. What do you have to do? Ella,
yichabes
betzina b'soich beso. It can be washed quietly in your house, but not brought out public. So the Mordechai takes a hard line, a hard line. Continue to Mordechai. Sholach mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. Klei pishton mutar lechabes v'moe. V'ha da omar le'el da asur l'man de islay trey. That which the Gemara says, you're not allowed to wash something if you have what?
Two.
That's only what? B'shel tzemer. That's only woolen garments. But linen garments, you're allowed to wash as many as you'd like. Venira the halacha the asur lichabes klei pishton b'moed. Push comes to shove, says the Mordechai. It's asur. Why? Because he believed that Abaye attacked Rabbi Yochanan's halacha when he was upset with the people who were washing the linen garments. That's how he learned the Gemara. Why? Midakamosiv Rava la Rabbi Yochanan mimasnitin. First of all, Rabbi Yochanan was challenged by Rava from the Mishnah. Okay, Abaye, va'af Abaye, amad dilma shelo brushus chachamim avid. Ulechaora mashma, the Abaye v'Rava the hevu basroi svirule the asur velo svirulon ki Rabbi Yochanan va'azlinon lechumra. Says the Mordechai, we know this is one of the golden rules that up until the time of Abaye and Rava, whenever there was a machloikis between a Rebbe and a Talmud, you paskened like the Rebbe, like the earlier generation. Always. And the feeling was that the person in the earlier generation was closer to the accurate Masoretic tradition. And that somewhere along the line, somebody messed it up. That changed in the 4th century in the time of Abaye and Rava. From the time of Abaye and Rava, the halacha was Hilchasa Kibasroi. The halacha is like the latter authority. And the logic is, very simply, that the earlier source did not necessarily know about the latter source. But the latter source definitely knew about the earlier source and nonetheless challenged him, disagreed with him. So if the latter source, who saw the earlier source, decided to disagree, must be that he had a very good reason for challenging the earlier source, and therefore says the Mordechai two things. Rava's question alone is enough to challenge Rabbi Yochanan, even though Abaye said that it was. Let's talk about other gardens. It's not the most compelling answer in the world. Maybe the Mishnah is indeed against Rabbi Yochanan. Because had the Mishnah allowed all linen garments, don't you think the Mishnah should have said something like that? If we're describing the only heterim of laundering, and you list, it's only this guy, that guy. Why don't you say that everybody on the planet is allowed to launder? I gotta wait till Rabbi Yochanan, who's post-Tanaitic period, for him to be mechadish this halacha? So Rava's essential life. So it's Rava and Abaye. Abaye in the second challenge against those people. So since both of them disagreed, the halacha is against Rabbi Yochanan. However, in Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin like the Mordechai.
The people.
What?
The Mordechai says then.
Yeah, he quotes others who disagree. Let me just see if I...
Rabia and Rabbi Avram.
Rabia, no, Rabbi Avram.
Who's Rabia?
Elezer ben Yoel Halevi. He is one of Rashi's sons-in-law. Rabia and the Rivan. And the Rabbeinu Avram. Rabbeinu Avram could be lots of guys. Could be Avram ben Arambam, you know. It could be a lot of guys. I don't know. Good. However, not everybody paskins like the Mordechai. If you now go for a second, to page 29, Giyur Shela. Incredible phenom. The Mechaber writes, "Ein mechabsin b'moed, ve'elu shemechabsin, habam edinus hayam, hayotzi beis hashivya, beis lasun, uminude sheitiru lechacham beregel, umishinadar shelo lechabes v'nishal beregel v'tiru lo, umit pachas hayodayim, umit pachot." I'm not sure what that is. Either hasvarim or saparayim. Umit pachot hasvag, ubigdei ktanim, ubalas hakesem shenimtza b'moed. So a woman found something on her garment. Umisha einlo elacholuk echad, v'kulon mekabsin kidarkan afilu b'neser v'ohal. Even with detergents. Ubifarhesia al gabe hanohar. So the Mechaber writes that it's 100% permissible. Adds the Ramah, towards the end of the second line, V'hada mutu lechabes b'farhesia, haynu davka kishirochets al gav hanar, mishum diskabes yoser yafe al gav hanar. Avo im eno koves al gabe hanor lo yichabes rak betzin of a lo bisfarhesia. The only time that you're allowed to launder bisfarhesia is if you're at the riverbank, because it will be more effective. But to do it any place else bisfarhesia in a laundromat, then it's awesome. If you have to do it, you have to do it in your own house. And then the Mechaber writes, Kol clay pishton and sif base mutal lechabson. You're allowed to wash all linen garments. V'lo no agukain, but the minig is not to do so. The hevile dvarim hamutarim, v'acherim no ango isur, I atar rishai lahatiram bifnehem. You're not allowed to be makel and tell them you're allowed to do it. If they were noheg isur, let them be noheg isur, and do not tell them that the halacha is that it is permissible.
So you're allowed to do it.
You can do it, just don't tell them.
Yeah, 100%. It's just it might be dependent on minhag hamakom. Minhag hamakom.
But don't let people switch their minhag.
Don't tell them. They can switch their minhag to go to chumrah. But you can't switch your minhag to go to kula. Can't go to kula.
So we don't know what Abaye holds. Mordechai said that Abaye and Rava both held.
Disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan.
You don't know if he holds that.
Mechaber holds that Abaye did not disagree
with Rabbi Yochanan.
Of course, that he writes Me'ikar Adin. You were allowed to wash clay pishta.
But we don't paskin against Rava for Abaye except for a few times.
So that's Rava against Abaye.
This is Rabbah against Abaye, because Rabbah,
no, it's not.
He doesn't hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbah argues with Rabbi Yochanan about Shai Bishtan.
According to the Mordechai, Rabbah and Abaye argue with Rabbi Yochanan.
Right, and this one, and according to
the Ramah?
Yeah, or according to the...
No, the Ramah says, Rabbi, essentially the halacha is you're allowed to launder linen clothing. But you shouldn't. The minhag is not to do it. That's all. The minhag is not to do it.
I'm saying, but why he said you're allowed, he's posting like that because Rabbi Yochanan said it's okay.
Correct, and nobody challenged him.
We know Rabbi challenged him. Rabbi challenged him with that question.
But Rabbi was rejected based on Abaye's comment that the Mishnah is talking about shar, other materials, except for Pishtan. Other materials, only the guys in the Mishnah. Only Ein Lo Chaluk Echad. But Pishtan, everybody can do. So Rava was rejected based on Abaye's comment. Then Abaye challenged those guys, and the way the Mechaber understands it, he's not disagreeing. He just said, don't bring any proof from those guys.
I'm sorry, can I say one question? But in this kind of scenario, you are posting like Abaye against Rava.
No, absolutely not.
But they're not going
to be... Abaye and Rava, either... Rava attempted to challenge Rabbi Yochanan. That is correct.
Right,
but we rejected him.
Abaye rejected him.
And the Gemara didn't say, "Hey, the halacha is like Abaye." The Gemara didn't say that here. That you're making the halacha like Abaye? No, he was just saying, "Don't." It's like in a conversation. We don't know that Rava didn't accept Abaye's answer. Rava challenged Rabbi Yochanan from the Mishnah. Abaye said, my good friend Rava, the Mishnah is talking about only other materials. We don't know if... it could very well be that Rava agreed with him then. And therefore nobody actually disagrees and says that you're not allowed to do that. Not allowed to do it.
Is Machaber saying that you shouldn't let people change a minute, or you shouldn't do it in front of them?
No. Do not tell them to change their minhag later. If they're doing something, you are not to tell them, hey, the Mechaber says it's mutter.
If you're allowed to pass, you're allowed to be known.
You can do yourself whatever you want. Yes. 100%. 100%.
And this all stems from the fact that we don't know what Abaye really holds.
That is correct. That's what's happening. We just don't know what he holds. And the Rambam also passed in the Hakka. I forgot to quote a Perek Zayin Halach Chaf Aleph that you're allowed to wash Big Day Pishta. You're allowed to wash Big Day Pishta. The Ramban adds one other qualification, not on the packet, because I couldn't find it. It's listed as Piskei Dini Cholo Shamoed, and I went to the Ramban's Torah Sa'adam where he has lists of it, but this wasn't there. So the Ramban writes that only a hedyot is permitted to do it b'fahesya. So you and me who are going to the riverbank, that's okay. But somebody who is a professional should never launder b'fahesya. Only Bitsina.
We've had that before with other types of... with
that is correct.
The tailor fixing the...
Yes, clothes. That's correct. It would be consistent. And it's in all probability, it's on account of the fact that if the professional tailor laundromat does it, everybody's going to say it must be mutra. That's why he's working a Chol HaShamoed. From an individual doing something, you don't necessarily establish what the correct halacha happens to be. And in fact, we actually paskin that garments that were brought into a laundry that were even laundered before, that were laundered by a guy during Chol HaShamoed, you're not allowed to wear them either. Even if it was done by a guy, not allowed to wear them.
Even if you drop them off a week before Yontif?
If you drop them off before Yontif, it's okay. Some say you shouldn't pick it up in Chol HaShamoed and they marasayin. Because they'll think you gave it in on Chol HaShamoed. But But if they were done on Chalosh HaMoed, there's no doubt that you're not allowed to wear it on Chalosh HaMoed or the last days of Yom Tov. So we're strict about certain things. It's hard to know why and what, but we're strict about it. Strict. All right, stop here. Continue next about writing.